Shall we take our Bibles and read together two passages from the Gospel of Matthew? Matthew 16 from verse 13 and Matthew 18. Matthew 16 from verse 13, we read in connection with Lord's Day 31 of the Catechism about the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Matthew 16, verse 13. Hear the word of the Lord. Now when Jesus came into the district of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, "Who do people say that the Son of Man is?" And they said, "Some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets." He said to them, "But who do you say that I am?" Simon Peter replied, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus answered him, "Blessed are you, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And I tell you, you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven." Then he strictly charged the disciples to tell no one that he was the Christ. We go to Matthew 18. Matthew 18 from verse 1. At that time the disciples came to Jesus saying, "Who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven?" And calling to him a child, he put him in the midst of them and said, "Truly I say to you, unless you turn and become like children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. Whoever humbles himself like this child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. Whoever receives one such child in my name receives me. But whoever causes one of these little ones who believe in me to sin, it would be better for him to have a great millstone fastened around his neck and to be thrown in the depths of the sea. Woe to the world for temptations to sin, for it is necessary that temptations come, but woe to the one by whom the temptation comes. And if your hand or your foot causes you to sin, cut it off and throw it away. It is better for you to enter life crippled or lame than with two hands or two feet to be thrown into the eternal fire. And if your eye causes you to sin, tear it out and throw it away. It is better for you to enter life with one eye than with two eyes to be thrown into the hell of fire. See that you do not despise one of these little ones, for I tell you that in heaven their angel always see the face of my Father who is in heaven. What do you think? If a man has 100 sheep and one of them has gone astray, does he not leave the 99 on the mountains and go in search of the one that went astray? And if he finds it, truly I say to you, he rejoices over it more than over the 99 that never went astray. So it is not the will of my Father who is in heaven that one of these little ones should perish. If your brother sins against you, go and tell him his fault between you and him alone. If he listens to you, you have gained your brother. But if he does not listen, take one or two others along with you, that every charge may be established by the evidence of two or three witnesses. If he refuses to listen to them, tell it to the church. And if he refuses to listen even to the church, let him be to you as a Gentile and a tax collector." So far our reading from the Word of God. We now go to our book of praise, and we read first Lord's Day 31 of the Catechism, Lord's Day 31 on page 546. Page 546 of the Book of Praise. Page 546, Lord's Day 31, what are the keys of the kingdom of heaven? The preaching of the holy gospel and church discipline. By these two, the kingdom of heaven is opened to believers and closed to unbelievers. How is the kingdom of heaven opened and closed? By the preaching of the gospel. According to the command of Christ, the kingdom of heaven is open when it is proclaimed and publicly testified to each and every believer that God has really forgiven all their sins for the sake of Christ's merits, as often as they by true faith accept the promise of the gospel. The kingdom of heaven is closed when it is proclaimed and testified to all unbelievers and hypocrites that the wrath of God and eternal condemnation rest on them as long as they do not repent. According to this testimony of the gospel, God will judge both in this life and in the life to come. How is the kingdom of heaven closed and opened? By church discipline. According to the command of Christ, people who call themselves Christians but show themselves to be unchristian in doctrine or life are first repeatedly admonished in a brotherly way, a brotherly manner. If they do not give up their errors or wickedness, they are reported to the church, that is, to the elders. If they do not heed also their admonitions, they are forbidden the use of the sacraments, and they are excluded by the elders from the Christian congregation and by God himself from the kingdom of Christ. They are again received as members of Christ and of the church when they promise and show real amendment. So far our reading from the Confession of the Church. We now listen to the preaching of the gospel, and afterwards we sing together hymn 50. Hymn 50 will be our response to the preaching afterwards. Beloved congregation of our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ, imagine that one of your friends in the church is dating, and your friend tells you that he sleeps with his girlfriend. Is that your business? Does it make sense for you to say or do anything? Perhaps you have another friend who studies and works part-time, and when you talk to him about his job, he tells you that his boss pays him cash, so he does not have to pay tax and he earns more money. Or perhaps you have older friends and you go to a birthday party, and at that birthday party some of your friends tell you that they see work and earning money as a responsibility, but they think that finding ways to minimise tax is good stewardship, good sport. Pay as little as possible to the government. What do you say? Do you say, it's not my business, and he can do as he pleases? Another friend regularly misses church and never attends Bible study society. And we have other friends who drink too much, who abuse drugs, who keep all their money for themselves and never donate to a worthwhile cause. We know it, and it does not make us happy, but is it really something that we need to deal with? Is it our business? Especially because we know that we are not perfect ourselves either. Therefore, we prefer to say nothing, and we hope that the problem will go away by itself. Or, rather than talk about the problem with our friends, we simply stop talking to them altogether. We drift apart. We find different friends who think and behave more like we do. Now, if these are issues in our lives, brothers and sisters, there is also another side of these stories. Imagine that somebody comes to you and tells you that you should not be sleeping with your girlfriend, or working for cash, or you should be going to church more regularly. You should get involved with a Bible study society. When these things are said to you, then how do you react? Do you tell them to mind their own business? Or do you listen politely, but then ignore what they say? It seems, beloved congregation, that it is not normal for us to speak to each other about the way we live. We prefer to let people make their own choices. And if there is a problem that needs to be dealt with, we've got a consistory. Let them do their jobs. At least, that's what we think. And now, before I continue, I would like to read with you from the church order in the back of our Book of Praise. Article 66 and 67. Page 658. Page 658. Article 67. Since church discipline is of a spiritual nature, and as one of the keys of the kingdom of heaven has been given to the church to shut and to open that kingdom, the consistory shall ensure that it is used to punish sins against both the purity of doctrine and the piety of conduct, in order to reconcile the sinner with the church and with his neighbour, and to remove all offence out of the church of Christ, which can be done only when the rule given by our Lord in Matthew 18 is followed in obedience. And then follows Article 67. The consistory shall not deal with any matter pertaining to purity of doctrine or piety of life that is reported to it, unless it has first ascertained that both private admonitions and admonitions in the presence of one or two witnesses have remained fruitless, or that the sin committed is of a public character. So, brothers and sisters, we just read together Article 67 of our church order. And you will have noticed in that article we have the rule that the consistory shall not involve itself with any matter in your life or in my life unless first privately congregation members have addressed the issue, and unless afterwards congregation members have also addressed the issue taking witnesses with them. And that means, brothers and sisters, when there are people of the church who regularly do not come to church, or when church members go to parties and get drunk or worse, then the elders should not be the first people to deal with the problems. Instead, as congregation, we are together the body of Christ, are we not? We belong to each other, do we not? And so we must learn to support each other and to challenge each other in love. Hold on to each other as we walk together on the road to eternal life. I preach to you this afternoon the gospel of your salvation under the following theme. The Lord Jesus Christ gave the keys of heaven to the church so that we might open heaven for each other. We see this afternoon how we open and close heaven through preaching, and how we close and open heaven through church discipline. The Lord Jesus Christ gave keys of heaven to the church so that we might open heaven for each other. We see first how we open and close heaven through preaching. Now, answer 84 of the Catechism has got two parts. The first part is about opening heaven, and the second part is about closing heaven. And you would have noticed when we read the Catechism together, these two parts, they seem to be perfectly balanced. Heaven is opened through sermons about the forgiveness of sins. Heaven is closed through sermons about the wrath of God. And so, we might assume, sermons ought to be equally balanced. In every sermon, there should be perhaps 15 minutes about Jesus and forgiveness to open heaven. And there should be another 15 minutes about the wrath of God and punishment to close heaven for unbelievers and hypocrites. That would seem balanced. But in the Catechism, there are some subtle differences between the first and the second paragraphs of this answer. In the first paragraph about opening heaven, we read about the gospel. It must be proclaimed and publicly testified. Publicly means in the public worship service. Publicly, that means for the whole world to hear. And we notice that word publicly does not come back in the second paragraph about proclaiming the wrath of God and eternal condemnation. Instead, the gospel, the good news, comes into a dark world where it reaches people who are dead in our sins and shortcomings. And the message of the gospel is for us that we can enter heaven if we have faith in Jesus Christ. He is the light of the world, and he comes to us into the darkness of our existence, and he calls us to believe in him and to receive salvation by faith in him. This is the message that must be proclaimed and publicly testified. We should hear this message in the preaching every Sunday morning and every Sunday afternoon. And now, we are all Christians, are we not? We all believe the gospel, do we not? And so, it could be argued that we don't need to enter the kingdom of heaven anymore. Surely we could say that, couldn't we? I think of a question that we discussed in our Bible, in our Men's Bible Study Society meeting a week and a half ago. We were discussing John 3, where Jesus told Nicodemus, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And the question was, if we imagine heaven being opened or being closed, where do we fit into the picture? Is the church perhaps inside the kingdom of heaven? So that we are already members of the kingdom of heaven, inside the kingdom of heaven? That would mean we don't need heaven to be opened for us anymore. When I ask this question in the catechism classroom, most students tell me, when they were baptized, they entered the kingdom of heaven. And of course, if that would be true, if we entered the kingdom of heaven when we were baptized, or even if we entered the kingdom of heaven when we came to faith, then we would not need preaching anymore. We would not need heaven to be open for us anymore if we were already inside the kingdom. You get what I'm saying? And then we notice. The Catechism says, the kingdom of heaven is opened when it is proclaimed and publicly testified to each and every believer that God has really forgiven their sins. The point is that believers, people like you and me, we need heaven to be opened for us. And we also notice, for believers, heaven is opened not just once, not just when they first come to faith. Instead, heaven is open for believers as often as they, by true faith, accept the promise of the gospel. That means today, when you hear the promise of the gospel, when in your heart you say, Amen, thank you, Lord, for your goodness, I believe in your Son, Jesus Christ, then the door of heaven is open for you. And tomorrow, when you read your Bible, if in your heart you say Amen to the promise of the gospel, then tomorrow again the door of heaven is open for you. And this must happen again and again and again, brothers and sisters, because every day we sin. Every day we offend God by our sins. Every day again our relationship with God is damaged. So on Sunday, we hear the gospel that God really, really forgives our sins. And as often as we accept that promise of the gospel, the kingdom of heaven is open for us. If we sin 7 times, even if we sin 70 times, 7 times, when we come to the point where we might say, surely God, you must be tired of me, always doing the same sin over and over again. When we say, surely God, we've said sorry so often, you've forgiven us so often, can you still forgive me again? Then the Catechism reminds us that it is my job to proclaim and publicly testify to you that God has really forgiven all your sins for the sake of Christ's merits. And then some Christians say, we don't need to confess our sins anymore, and we don't need to be forgiven anymore. Now, only one thing matters, these people say. Only one thing matters, and that is that we show thankfulness to God. But the Lord Jesus Christ, he spoke to the church of his time, and he told his covenant people that there were 2 ways to live. There is a wide gate and there is a narrow gate. And the Lord Jesus said, the gate is wide and the way is easy that leads to destruction, and those who enter by it are many. But the gate is narrow and the way is hard that leads to life, and those who find it are few. When we think about the gate that is narrow and about the way that is hard, we might think about persecution and suffering and having to say no to the desires of our sinful nature. We think that's tough, persecution, suffering, and our struggles against sin. And these are important aspects of Christian life, brothers and sisters. They matter. But the gospel, Christianity is not, in the first place, about us. Christianity is not a cultural thing where we live a certain lifestyle. No, Christianity is believing in our hearts, believing every day again that God has really forgiven all our sins only for the sake of Christ's merit. Answer 84 teaches us that when we believe this promise of the gospel, then heaven is open. Then God invites us to enter. Then we have nothing to fear, nothing to worry about, because we are on a road, an open road that leads to eternal joy. And if this is so, if there are these two roads, does it make a difference if we are baptized? Does it make a difference if we belong to God's covenant and to God's church, yes or no? Well, baptism is a sign that God put us on the road to salvation. Baptism confirms God's promise that he takes us by the hand and he leads us through all the challenges of life. He leads us to salvation. But we are not there yet. And every day we face challenges. Every day there are new distractions, and so easily we forget God's promises. So easily we focus our attention instead on the things of this world. And so again and again, every Sunday in fact, through the preaching of the gospel, our Heavenly Father shakes us awake and he reminds us to accept his promises. And through our baptism, he reminds us that we are his children, and so he will stand beside us. He will support us every day as long as we are on the way. Through our baptism, we are called and obliged to a new obedience. That means to walk in faith towards the open door of eternal life. Again, Lord's Day 31 reminds us that the focus of preaching may never be do this or live like that. The focus of preaching may never be us, our habits, our lives, our hearts. Instead, the focus of preaching must always be the promise of the gospel of Jesus Christ and the command to obey the gospel by living in faith. When we accept by true faith the promise of the gospel, then heaven is open. But if we do not accept the promise of the gospel, then heaven is closed. That is our first point. In our second point, we will now see how heaven is closed and opened by church discipline. We don't usually say that we open or close heaven. Surely we cannot do that. Instead, God does it. Like the end of answer 84 says, God will judge both in this life and the next. We cannot judge, but God will. And yet, in Matthew 16, Jesus gave the keys of heaven to Peter and to the apostles and to the church. Jesus says, what you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. What you lose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Jesus was on earth, but he went to heaven. The apostles, they disappeared as well. And now, Jesus wants every congregation to live as if there is a key that can close and open heaven. And that key is not just for me to use, not just for the consistory to use. No, it is a key that we must all use together for each other. You and I must use that key to close, to open heaven for each other. Every one of us must use that key to close, to open heaven for the people around us. And whether we like this or not, whether we want to use that key or not, it's irrelevant. By our actions, we will close or open heaven for each other. Think about how this works. Preaching opens and closes heaven. But church discipline first closes and then opens heaven instead. It's the other way around. Because when we do church discipline, we are busy with members of the church. We are busy with people who are Christians, people who are with us on the road to heaven. For you and for me, for every member of this church, heaven is open. But what happens sometimes? Somebody grew up in the church, attended church regularly with his parents, professed his faith, attended young people's Bible study, did all the right things, but then he stopped going to Bible study. And a few months later, he started to miss afternoon worship services. He knew that what he was doing was not really right. And he expected somebody would say something to him. But nothing happened. Nobody even seemed to notice that he was missing. And then, when it became obvious to him that it didn't matter to anybody, he stopped coming to church altogether. And when that happens, beloved congregation, and it does happen, then later it also happens that those people say that they are disappointed with the church. They say, you believe in church discipline? They say, you believe that church discipline is one of the marks of the true church? They say, if you really believe that, how come that nobody took any notice of me? And then the fact is, this afternoon, I could give you a list of names of men and women, young people who have left the church in the past 12 months. In 2016, there are 10 names on that list. 10 people have withdrawn from this church. Now the Lord says in Matthew 18, when a person sins, go and tell him his fault between you and him alone. If somebody is not in church, we can send him a message, simply telling them that we missed them. When we do that, we show that we care. And if it continues that they are not in church, we can ask later if something is bothering them. Again, we show that we care. We belong to a body together, and we notice. And it also happens that we go to parties and we see behaviour that is simply ungodly. And then it is not easy to speak to them. It is not easy to admonish them in a brotherly way. Instead, it's difficult. It really is difficult. And do you know why it is so difficult? Because church discipline is a matter of faith. We believe that God reveals his will to us in his word. And we believe that we understand God's word. We believe that we understand how God wants us to live. So, if my brother sins, what do I believe about that brother? Do I believe that he is truly a Christian? Do I believe that the Holy Spirit is working in his heart? If I believe that, I should also trust that the Holy Spirit, who works in me, will also work in my brother. So that if I speak to him in a brotherly way about his sin, then he will respond in a brotherly way. Again, church discipline is a matter of faith. It is an act of faith. I will only dare to speak to you about your lifestyle if I believe that the Holy Spirit will work in you. If I believe that the Holy Spirit will work through my words to correct you. To do church discipline, I don't need to believe in you, but I need to believe that the Lord of the church will work also through me. And then the Lord continues in Matthew 18, if your brother does not listen to you, take one or two others along with you, that every charge may be established by the evidence of two or three witnesses. So these witnesses, who are they? Are they people who were also at the party with me? They saw what I saw, and they agree with me about what happened? No, brothers and sisters, these witnesses are not. No, these witnesses are people who go to church with us, people who listen to the same preaching, because through the preaching, the Holy Spirit moulds our hearts and our consciences. The Holy Spirit aligns our hearts. He aligns our thinking. The Holy Spirit teaches us this is good and this is evil. This is godly and that is ungodly. The Holy Spirit, he works in the congregation through the preaching. What he does, he aligns our hearts according to his will. And then it is impossible that any person in this church thinks it's okay for him to sleep with his girlfriend. It is impossible for any person in this church to think differently. The principle of church discipline is that if you think differently about sleeping with a girlfriend, if you think differently, then the Holy Spirit, who has aligned our hearts to think one way, cannot be working in your hearts while you think differently. It's the same with pornography. The Holy Spirit, working through the preaching, aligns our hearts so that we all say no to pornography. And if you think it's okay, then the Spirit who works in us is not working in you. It's the same with alcohol abuse or drug abuse. It's the same with doing cash jobs to avoid paying taxes. So many other things we say are wrong. And then we do not hesitate to say that the Holy Spirit has aligned our hearts so that what we believe is what the Bible teaches. So that if you disagree with us on these important points, then the Holy Spirit, who is aligning our hearts, is not working in your heart. Because the Holy Spirit, he does not contradict himself. And so, brothers and sisters, believing that the Bible is true is the beginning of true faith. Believing that the Son of God, that God sent his Son into the world to save us from our sins, that is an important part of the Christian faith. But Lord's Day 31 teaches us that our faith is greater than that. Our faith is fuller than that. Our faith covers all dimensions of our life. We believe that the Spirit of God, he works in us through God's word to align our thoughts, to align our judgments, to agree with God's will. And we also believe that God wants to work through us men, women and children of the church. God wants to work through our thoughts, through our understanding, Through our communication, God wants to work to build his church. God has given to you and to me and to everybody else a different character, a different personality, different gifts. Why? He wants to use us all to serve him. To serve him by serving each other. And it is one thing to serve each other by providing a pan of soup or a casserole or a plate of cookies. But God wants more than that of mature Christians, brothers and sisters. God also wants to work through us to open heaven where we care about each other, where we help each other, where we dare to correct each other in faith, in love, humbly, trying to open doors of communication rather than trying to slam other people. Let us do this for each other and for the glory of God. Let us do it humbly, in faith, also in this coming week. Amen.